Well, we're taking a break from our study in Romans today, and I'm calling this message, and nothing unique about it, but unwrapping Christmas. Most of us, some of you have already unwrapped presents this morning, or maybe even a week before you've had to meet because of families, blended families, or because of just schedules and that kind of thing. Some people are working today, and it's difficult, but regardless, I can guarantee your kids know what happens whenever you choose to do it, and a significant part is unwrapping those gifts. You know, last week it was hilarious. We played a game at our staff. One of the questions was staff was Family Feud, a Christmas version. Is like, where do you hide your gifts before Christmas? And some of you guys have no clue what I'm talking about, and some of us know exactly what we're talking about. Some of you, you buy gifts and you wrap them and you put them under the tree. Ours, we didn't put them under until Christmas Eve, until after the kids went to bed. So they woke up and there's presents under the tree. And there was another reason why, is because we didn't have time to wrap them. And so some of you guys are really good planners, and so you wrapped them. But you think about all those places in your home that we hid them. We hid it under the bed, in the closet, out in the garage, in the attic, those places that you hide things. And if you didn't experience that, I know Stephen is like, why would you hide presents? It's like, this is your to give them to people and wrap them and you put them under the tree. And so he was just like, exactly. Why would you put a present in the attic? That's ridiculous. You know, and I just shared before the danger of that. In fact, it happened again last night. Jackie said, I'm sorry, I didn't get you anything. You know, we our kids are coming, so we went and bought a mattress. That was the family gift this year. And she goes, you got me something. It's under the bed. I was like, what? It's under the bed? She goes, yeah, it's under the bed. I said, what did I get you? So I got under the bed. I was like, oh, pair of slippers. Oh, don't tell Jackie. The danger of hiding them is remembering that where you hid them and that you hid them. Because we've found things later in the year. It's like, oh my goodness, here it is. But unwrapping Christmas. And I think about, you know, we it kind of in passing talked about keeping it active, keeping Christmas real. And I just think about, you know, oh, another year, and you think, oh, the dread of it. And that makes me cry when people dread Christmas. It's like, how can you dread something so wonderful? And I just think about, you know, I just want it to get over with. And I just think whether it's a disappointment in Christmas or even a boredom. God is not boring. God is not boring. If we think God is boring or Christmas is boring, we're missing something. We're missing something. We're going to look at the familiar passage today about Christmas, and really for obvious reasons, right? This is Christmas Eve. You'd think you'd talk about Christmas, and we're going to. But sometimes we can get used to looking at the same things over and over and forget the awe in them. I think about, I used to come up here. We lived in California, and when we first got married, we lived in Olympia, Washington. And then I got transferred to Portland and lived in Vancouver, and then we lived down in California. And then 6 years later, we got a chance to move back up to Albany. And I was just struck again all over. The Northwest, if you haven't figured this out, is a beautiful part of the country. It is a beautiful place. And I remember, for the first several years, I felt like I was on vacation, a constant vacation, as we drove and see the evergreens and see the lakes and the mountains and the ocean. It's not like the beach. In Southern California, you call it the beach. They call it the coast here because there's not much beach. And if there is, you're not laying out in the sand, you know. I would just like, oh my, Jackie, we live on vacation. And then over time, if things get busy, you forget what a beautiful place you live. And so I try to just take the time as we drive across, you know, Highway 34 to town or to Albany or up north to Portland or down south just to kind of take it all in. We live in a beautiful place. I say, God, I praise you that you made such a beautiful place and that I get to live here. And we have to be active in pursuing those things so that I don't get bored with them. And it's the same thing with our relationship with God. We can pass by amazing things and take them for granted or even miss the whole thing. And I feel like Christmas is one of those things because we think it's about the presents and navigating the timing of everybody coming to meals and when we're going to do things. And we can miss the beauty and the amazing part of Christmas, the miracle that God has done right before our lives. I love when I hang out with my mom, especially when our kids were younger. You know, it's hard when your kids are younger. You're just trying to get through life. And it took my mom to come in and go, oh, did you see that? They're, you know, feeding themselves, or they're learning their letters, and look at they know their colors, or look how well they, you know, they're helping around the house, or all these things. They would notice just the small things that you just took for granted because you were living it. I loved it because I was like, you're right. First of all, when your mom and your parents love your kids, it's like loving you. But it just was so cool. I was like, oh, you're right. And I felt like because they were out of the loop, they lived out of the state, and so they would come visit, those things were shouting at them, the amazement of it, and they noticed those things. My hope this morning is that we would be reminded of the miracles and the bigness of what God did 2,000 years ago. That we, as we celebrate Christmas, that we would quiet our hearts before the Lord, that we would listen and we would enjoy unwrapping Christmas all over again, that gift that God's given us. Let's look at Luke 2, verses 8, beginning with verse 8. And I don't know, have like a good dramatic voice, a good Charlie Brown voice. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Those words that we've read so many times, I just want to take a few minutes to unwrap Christmas. Living out in the fields, these shepherds were watching their sheep. You know, that wasn't a comfortable place to be. It was cold at times. It was not a family-friendly place because you were away from your family. These shepherds were the epitome, really, of a normal guys, normal people. Yet God chose shepherds to be the ones to deliver this angelic announcement to this announcement to heaven and earth that would change history. He notices how they live their lives. I just think just noting, they're watching their sheep at night. I'm thinking at night, you could be sleeping, you could go into town, because who's going to notice that you're gone? These were normal guys, but they were about their assignment. They were watching their sheep. After all, who would even notice them? But God did. God's gift is for the humble. And these shepherds living out in the field, it was the most normal, average job that you could have, but yet that's who God chose to give his message to. God notices really the unnoticed, those things that you are being faithful to and nobody is giving you kudos for. God is noticing that. God sees that. Those things, those average everyday things that you're doing, God is noticing. It takes me back and grabs my attention that God chose those shepherds to reveal His message to first. It encourages me because all of us come with feelings of inadequacy or even very average. It's like, what sets me apart from anybody? You know, there's so many, you know, whether it's the show, I can't even think of the ones that you sing. American Idol, you know, where you, amazing people, you know, they come and they get, you know, some get music contracts, recording contracts afterwards. Amazing people, and some of us think we sing really good, but some people actually do sing really good. And so you just like think you have nothing to bring to the table. In a sense, that's the place that God can speak to us. In fact, the less proud we are of what we have and do, the more receptive we are to God's message of salvation. I can think back of when Jesus was saddened about his conversation with a rich young ruler who said, hanging on to my wealth and my power and esteem of people is more important to me than following you. And Jesus describes his sadness. He said, when the man heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. God's gift is for the humble. That when we think that we've got it going on, when we think we have all our needs met and that we don't see a problem with what's going on inside, God's gift is useless to us. It's unnecessary. But if you and I think we've got a problem and we need help, then we will be so excited to unwrap presents. I think of the joy, and I grabbed this little picture of a kid opening the present. When we realize what God's given, we will be so excited that we will not be able to wait to open that gift. That's got to be authentic, because you can't make kids that young look that pleased. That's not socks, by the way. You are a mean parent if you put socks in a box like that. God doesn't do false advertisement. God's the original and foremost communicator. He knows how to make announcements. When you have something big to say to somebody, you just don't come out and say it, do you? You say, hey, I got some really exciting news. Are you sitting down? Are you listening? Are you watching? You tell some background, hey, I've got something really exciting, but let me tell you what happened. Remember when I said this? Remember when this happened? Now look what's taken place. God's gift comes with preparation. God has been preparing the world since the beginning of creation. I think Genesis 3:15 says that, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Speaking ahead, as the gospel gets unfolded, we see it's talking about Satan and sin that God deals with. Isaiah 9:6. I love this. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. God is about building great expectations that he alone can deliver on them. You know, you think about ads of merchandise that it's going to solve all of our problems. If you drive this car, life, your marriage is going to be great. Your kids are going to sit in the back of it happy to be with you. Right? I'm going to go buy that car because I want that. It's like, wrong. You can't deliver on that, but God can deliver on those great expectations. Now look at Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me, one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. God told the world where the gift would enter our world. Did you know God's about gift hints? God gives hints about the good gifts He gives. How many guys have a terrible time keeping secrets? You know what I'm talking about? You know, it's like, they can't stand it. And my daughter-in-law's that way. She gets a gift, she can't stand not knowing what a great gift that they're getting. It's like, really? Let me open it. Don't tell me. My mom, we play this game called headbands. You know, there's a game where you wear a headband and you put a card in it and you have to guess who you are. You ask questions. Hey, am I a person? Am I a place? You know, that's standard 20 questions. But my mom is hilarious because as people start to guess, and I generally am like one of the last people to guess, she starts giving hints. Or if I am that game, I get it, you know, one of the first, and I follow her, and she's telling people hints. I say, Mom, you can't do that. And of course, unless it's me, please give me a hint. But God is about hints. He gave hints. He says, this ruler is going to come from Bethlehem. Matthew 3, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. God's gifts requires a preparation of our heart. You know, just even we talked about this morning was what was asked, what gift are we bringing? You know, and David shared about opening his box of, and there was no frankincense, you know, gold or myrrh. It was empty. And God said, I want your heart. God's gift requires preparation. God's gift also brings light. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Light is one of those distinguishing attributes of God. Did you know that? Light. God's gift cannot be outdone. I love John 1:5. It says, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. God's light gives direction, gives discernment to where we're to go. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The light is Jesus. And I love this last one. There's lots of references to light in the Bible describing God. Did you know in heaven there will be no more night? Why? They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of even the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. That's just weird, isn't it? You think about the most bright thing we have, and God is brighter than that. I think as we did the lighting, the electricians came and we said, oh, what light's here? And he says, the way you tell is if you need light is you stand and you watch and see if you have a shadow or not, or how distinguishable it is. But where God walks, where God's light is, there is no shadow. You know, as my eyes have gotten worse, I need some bright light to read some stuff. Especially if it's small print. I'm like, hey, bring the spotlight on this. But God's gift brings light. God's gift comes from, and I didn't even know how to say this, but it just sounds kind of weird. But God's gift comes from and is surrounded by awesome. I don't know how you do it. I know that word is like overused. But what happens when people come in the touch with even angelic beings? They are terrified. You think of the place in the Bible where, you know, people just like fall straight down and they're just like dizzy. They're like numb when they come in the presence of God. That God's gift, as we unwrap it, you know, that kid, not just the look of, oh, wow, but just like pass out, kind of faint, kind of awesomeness that God brings. God's gift is perfect for everyone. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Not some of the people, all the people. Luke's description of introduction of the birth of Jesus would have been familiar to his readers. And the birth of royalty was accompanied by an announcement. They would come and say, you know, royalty, I'd like to present you to the world. This is the next king. This is, you know, the prince so-and-so. This is princess. It just was just, it's like royalty. This is how you got introduced. So when he taught, and they called it good news. We got good news. Somebody would herald good news. Unlike the birth of the next Roman Caesar, this birth would cause great joy for all the people. It's not just for some of you privileged people that can appreciate what's coming. It's not just for you people who have money. It's not just for you people who are in the right place at the right time. This gift is for all people. Have you ever heard good news that you weren't looking for? You almost can't even appreciate it fully. Maybe the boss comes into your office and say, hey, I just want to let you know, here's a bonus check. You're like, what? No way, I've never heard of that happening. You're like, thank you, thank you. And in fact, guess what? You got the week off with pay. Didn't see that one coming. What great news that we have, even if we don't know that it was coming. Even if you weren't looking for that good news, it's good news for you. The Savior's coming will cause great joy for all people. I love as Jesus quotes, as he begins ministry, he quotes Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. What a great gift. The perfect gift. God's gift is given to who? To you. Verse 11. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. The angels have made this announcement, and it's about a Savior. The Savior is a common theme throughout the Old Testament. It was a rescuing, a deliverer. And in addition, this passage right here describes him as the Messiah, which is the anointed one, the promised one, our deliverer, the Messiah. Have you ever seen movies of pictures of after the war in Europe, World War II, where they come into the city rescuing, or even World War I, rescuing and bringing freedom to the countries that have been invaded by enemies? You see the women coming out with flowers, giving to the soldiers. You see them kissing the soldiers and their hands and bowing to them because they've been given freedom. They've been rescued. I mean, it's that same attitude that's how Israel looked at it. And we know that it's a spiritual deliverance. But as we unwrap the Christmas gift, understand that that's what Jesus came. That's what that gift meant. He's a Savior came. A Savior, a deliverer has been born in Bethlehem today. It's a gift that's given to you. given for your freedom and your deliverance. I hope that I'm that kind of thankful. You know, as I think about those, as those soldiers came in and freed those people from their enemy, and there's like, wow, when we thought we were going to die here. We were going to die. In fact, we lost people. And yet you came in and delivered us. That's the same way Jesus comes in and delivers us. I want to be that kind of thankful. God's gift cries out for our response. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. What? Why did the angels give this detail to the shepherds? Because he wanted them to go and see. Come and see this miracle that's going on. There was a response that needed to happen. And the angels, it's by implication that they wanted those shepherds to go and take a look at what's going on. In fact, they say, let's go see this thing that happened. Let's go see this visible sign of what has taken place. Come and see for yourselves the visible sign. You know, just reminding, it's like there's a response that God is calling every one of us to. As we unwrap the gift, there's a response. What are we going to do with that? Are we going to sit back? Or are we going to go and see this thing that Jesus has done? And then verse 13. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory. You didn't see that, Stephen. Glory to God in the highest, and on the guitar which your favor rests. I'll buy you a new one, Stephen, don't worry. With the money I just got. Which isn't enough, but... Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. Not only does God's gift cry out for our response, but He cries out for our worship. Glory to God in the highest. The news is so overwhelming that praise goes up into heaven. It's fascinating. We think about angels who go in and out of God's presence. Would that be kind of cool? To like be able to go into heaven, go down to earth, do what God wants, come back up. Okay, what do you want, Lord? To see that kind of glory and power, that angels who live in that kind of environment, they see what just happened in the birth of Jesus, they are amazed. They are overwhelmed. In a flash of a moment, in a myriad of heavenly hosts, some versions call it the armies of God. I think, you know, because we think of heavenly hosts, there's a bunch of angels. They look kind of soft skin and it's white, and they you know, have really singing voices. And if you are prejudiced, you think that they're a bunch of sissies. These are armies of God, fierce warriors who also can sing. Is that cool or what? They can do it all. They're praising God, say, God, glory to God in the highest. For what? For the earth. For peace. On whom God's favor rests. God's glory shouts in the highest heavens. The very presence of God. The Holy of Holies. But this gift, although it's for all of mankind, God's gift must be personally unwrapped. Somebody can't unwrap God's gift for you. You have to respond and unwrap it for yourself. Because although the gift is for everybody, who is the blessing for? Who is the peace for? It's for those who on whom God's favor rests. We have to personally unwrap that gift. Not all are going to benefit from God's salvation and fullness. Only those who respond to God's grace and follow the path of the light that He's giving. Only those on whom His favor rests. It's a reality. You know, it's a challenge as Christians. I think of people who say they're Christians, but they don't exhibit God's peace. You see them in situations and you can't distinguish between somebody who's not a believer and somebody who is. What's the difference? We need to respond, unwrap God's gift of peace and say, I choose to put my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior. It's not a choice of what mom and dad did or what a friend did or the culture or the church I grew up in. But accepting the gift, Jesus is my Savior, not your Savior, not our Savior, but my Savior, to unwrap that gift that we have. I deliver from my enemy and my sin. As you sit around, you know, and I don't know if you have serious times on Christmas, I have to force myself, I have to be intentional to ask the questions because I could be distracted. We have some yummy stuff that's made. Christmas morning, we have some traditions about what we make. Jackie makes this. How many guys know what Herman is? It's a guy's name. Well, it's the kind of Herman that you feed. I'm giving hints. Okay, it's a bread made with yeast, and so you feed it with sugar and flour, and it's a live culture. Okay, so that when you bake it, it expands from the... See, I'm terrible at describing that. It tastes really good. And she makes that Christmas morning, and it has brown sugar dripped all over the top of it. It's like a cake. It's about this fat, and I'm getting hungry thinking about it. But that's just one of it. The other thing is she makes chili egg puff. And another thing, my daughter-in-law is here, so we get their influence, and we get, I think it's called pannekuchen. It's kind of a real puffy pastry pancake thing with lemon and... powdered sugar frosting on it. See, I'm getting, my mouth is watering again. Okay, and we haven't even got to Christmas dinner yet. And so I think about all those things. How do you have a serious conversation? I have to say, wait a minute. As we pray or as we're eating this and going, and I, in my old age, my kids and my wife laugh at me. I start to make noises when I eat now. And sometimes I sing a little song as I eat. Is that a sign of getting old or just senile? Maybe both. But I just think of those things that can be distracting to say, why are we here? What we're enjoying, the peace in our family, conversations, is because of Jesus. And this morning I want to unwrap a gift from the Lord, you know, and just say, Sherry, hey, what do you recognize this morning that God's given you? What is the part that you're aware of unwrapping? What are you thankful for? And it could be that simple, or you go around and share one thing, because it does take us, it can't be passive. It doesn't just happen. Those things don't just happen. You have to choose to go there. And I know not all my family, as we've gotten bigger gatherings, loves those times. They're like, oh, really? Here we go again, Pastor Scott, or, you know, whatever. But some people, they may not have instigated it, but they walk away saying, you're right. That is a great reminder. And the things my faith is built up as I hear what other people are thankful for, or the gift of what Jesus means to them. I'm like, oh, yeah, I hadn't thought of that. That's so true. I want to end with Stephen. I think I want to sing. There's like all the songs are great this morning, but let's do "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," as I think about the celebration, because I think there's some great words in this one too. As we celebrate, those angels came and sang God's glory, that we get to sing God's glory and acknowledge that gift that He gave. Is it broken? I'm going to do this in front of everybody. Stephen, will you forgive me?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
No problem.
No problem. He's had to forgive me for a lot of things over the years. Thank you, Stephen. What a kid. Will you stand with me? Let's pray, and then we'll sing this song to close. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this morning that we get to celebrate your gift. Help us to have that kind of excitement that we saw in that little boy, to be little boys and girls that are so excited to unwrap the gift that you gave in your son Jesus. That it doesn't break, it doesn't wear out, it doesn't need batteries, and it is perfect gift for every single one of us. We praise you, God. We worship you. Lord, I just pray a blessing too on each person here as they, regardless of their circumstance, God, that it the mystery and the reality of your gift would change what happens at home, what happens in their heart, what happens in their minds as we celebrate your birth, your gift. In Jesus' name, amen.